Good morning, friends from Chanukah. Today's topic is gambling and halacha. To start with a bit of a disclaimer, as we always do, we're going to discuss the topic from a halacha point of view, from a chazon mishnah point of view. Obviously, gambling is not a good or wise thing to do with a person's time. It's well known, the dangers, it's an addiction, it can become a sickness, and certainly not something that a person should be doing. But today, we're not going to focus on the Musar aspect. We're going to discuss it from a halacha point of view. What, if anything, is wrong with gambling, and how does halacha define gambling? Now, to understand this, we have to go briefly through the sugya of asmachta. In general, halacha does not second-guess people's decisions. You can walk over to someone, hand him $10,000, say, listen, I like you, a present from me to you. Afterwards, you think to yourself, what did I do? This is ridiculous, I can't afford. You call him up, ask for it back. Nothing doing. You already gave it to him, there was a kinyan, dvarim shebelev, you know, even dvarim shebelev matana, maybe a shaila, but it's done. A deal is a deal. Now, the same thing is true. If you walk over to someone and say, I'm going to give you $10,000, and you make a kinyan, you write an IOU note, you write a shtar choyv, you make a kinyan sudr. In such a case, you owe the money. There's no consideration. You didn't get anything in return. It may have been a silly thing to do. But the moment you make a commitment, I'm going to give you the money, and you make a ma'aseh kinyan, you owe the money. And you can go ahead later on and say, I didn't mean it, it was a mistake, you've got to pay. There's one case, and this is the Shaila of Asmachta, where Chazal go ahead and say, you didn't mean it. And that is any case where there's a DE, a person says, I mean, the classic example is a person owes money, he paid back half of his debt, and the lender is pushing him, I want payment in full. So the borrower takes the IO, tells the lender, that, listen, I'm going to pay you in full within 60 days. If I don't pay you within 60 days, then take this note, which is really halfway paid up, you know, it's by a third party, and if I don't pay you in 60 days, you can collect the entire debt again. Over here, the halacha, we hold asmachta lo kanya. Even though you made a deal, that if I don't come within 60 days, I'm going to pay you the whole debt again, you made a kinyan, it was in the hands of a third party, still, it's an asmachta. We say you did not mean it. There's no gemiras das. You may have said it, but you were only said it because you were sure that you were going to be able to pay. There was money coming in. But if it doesn't work out, at the end of the day, you have the right to back out. It's an asmachta lekanya. Now, there's a tremendous discussion in the Rishonim. What are the guidelines of asmachta? When do we say you did me the deal wasn't serious? It's an asmachta. And when do we say no? A deal's a deal. You made a kinyan. It's chal. And there's a tremendous. It's a very important shaila. Anyone who's ever signed a contract, there's a whole list of contingencies. If I don't close by this date, there'll be a certain penalty. You'll hire a contractor. If it's not the project is not completed by a certain time, there may be a penalty. When is a penalty in asmachta, and when do we say a deal is a deal? So, there are many different shittos in the Rishayin, and we're going to focus first on the shittos of the Ramah. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, has a case of Haimadiyo of Zuzi Lechavre Lemizvan Lechamro Upashav Lezavin Le. A person gave someone money to buy wine. Apparently there was a sale, great price. Paid someone to go pick it up. He was Pesheya. The Shliach did not go and buy the wine. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Ashi, Asmachta Leikanya. The Shliach, the agent, is not responsible for the fact that he wasn't able to buy the wine. And therefore, even though you lost money, the price is not available anymore, there's no recourse. So, if any of you were looking for a new camera, and you saw this phenomenal ad on Black Friday, you weren't in the mood of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so you paid someone a couple of dollars to go get it for you. The halacha is, if he oversleeps, if he doesn't get it for you, and now that very same camera you're going to have to pay an extra $100 for, asmachta lekanya. He doesn't have to pay you a penny. You don't have to pay him. He didn't do the work for you. But the fact that he committed and he took money and said, I'm going to get this for you at a great deal, and then he overslept, he does not have to pay you for the loss.
What's the difference between this? Why is this called asmachta as opposed to...
Okay, hold on. The Gemara then continues and says, wait a second. There's a halacha, it's actually a mishnah, that if a person has, you have a landlord, and he hires a property manager. The case over there was he hired a sharecropper who's going to plant the field and work the field, and they're going to split the profits. And obviously the same thing is true. You have someone to manage your property. He's going to find tenants, he's going to advertise, and you're going to pay him a certain amount. And he tells the landlord that if I'm pesheya, if I don't do the work I'm supposed to, ashalem b'mitvasa, I'm going to reimburse you for any hefsid that you had because I didn't work. There the halacha is, he has to pay. You hire a worker, he's negligent, and because of the negligence, there are losses. He's got to pay the balabas, he's got to pay the employer for these hefsedim. Gemara asks, that's a stira. How come when you hire the fellow to pick up, to buy the stuff on Black Friday, he doesn't have to pay you for your loss? When you hired someone to work the field and he doesn't do it, he does pay you for the loss. So the Gemara answers, Hasan biyadai, hachalat biyadai. When you hire someone to work a field, what's he guaranteeing? He's not guaranteeing it's going to rain. If he does his job and it doesn't rain, he doesn't pay you a penny. He's guaranteeing he is going to work the field. That is biyadoi. That is completely under his control. Gets up in the morning, he works the field, the job will get done. In such a case, where you make a commitment, I'm going to do something, and it's in your control, that's not an asmachta. And if you don't go do it, you're going to be responsible for any losses that the employer incurs. Masha Einkein, in our Black Friday story, it's true. You can get up 5 o'clock in the morning and go to Walmart. But there's going to be a stampede at that time. When you get there at 5 o'clock, there are going to be people who are camped out from the night before. And when you get there, there's going to be mud. You don't know how many they have in stock. You don't know whether it's going to be possible. In such a case, where it's not biyadoi, it is not completely under your control, because it depends how many are in stock, it depends how many what other people are doing, there, even though you've accepted responsibility, that is called an asmachta. Because you've accepted responsibility only because you were confident that it would work out. You're confident there weren't going to be so many people, you're confident that you'll be able to get it. If it doesn't work out, we say you never meant to accept that penalty. Okay, but since even if he went, it's not the yodoy, that means there was never a smichas das. And if there's no smichas das at the time, then the kinyan is not chal at all. So this is the first yusoid. That when you accept responsibility for something which is beyond your control, it's an asmachta. Now, a very common case, this happened a few weeks ago. Chavrusa came in, he had a few of his mispaolim that were a bit overweight. And their doctors or their wives are on their case to lose a couple of pounds. So they made up. They're each going to commit $5,000. And whoever loses the most weight in 3 months keeps the pot. Now, is that a smachta or not? Is losing weight under your control or not? So now in this case, it's clearly a smachta. Because even if you can control your weight, you can't control the next person's weight. So since it's not biyodri, make sure you lose more than them, it's clearly an asmachta. Let's change the case. Let's say instead of 4 people involved, you make a bet that you say you can lose 10 pounds in 2 months. And if you lose the 10 pounds, you'll get a certain amount of money, otherwise you'll pay. Is that an asmachta or not? So is it biyodri to lose 10 pounds in 2 months? Now, I suspect if I asked for a show of hands, everyone thin would say, yes, it's of course a biyadoi, stop eating. Anyone who struggles with his weight a little bit will say, no, it's not biyadoi, it's impossible, even when I diet, I gain weight. So I don't know. But that's the first question. If it's biyada, if you control it and you make a commitment, you have to pay. If it's out of your control, then it's an asmachta, and even though you made a commitment, you made a kinyan, loy kanya. There's no kemiras das. Even when it's under your control, there's another important limitation. The case of the Mishnah is, you said, that I'm going to work the field. You hired someone to work the field. He said, I'm going to do it. If not, I'm going to pay for your losses. What happens if you hire a contractor to build you a house? He tells you it'll be done in a year. Okay, so you tell him, all right, I want that in writing. No problem, it'll be done in a year. Okay, now I want a penalty if it's not done. He says, fine, if it's not done within 2 years, then at that point I'll pay you $2,000 a month. Is that penalty an asmachta or not? So the first question is it biyadoi or not? Does the contractor have direct control over building it? So if he's building it himself, this contractor shows up every morning with a hammer and nails and he builds the house, that's clearly biyadoi. I mean, assuming there are no zoning issues or weather issues, he has the one who control. If he accepts responsibility, he's going to have to pay. On the other hand, if it's not biyadoi, he needs other people's cooperation. And it's not clear, it's not so easy to get people's cooperation. That's la biyadoi, that would be an asmachta. Even when it is under his control, you can only accept to pay for the losses. Now, let's say the buyer, he has a house, he's selling his house based on your commitment that it's going to be ready at the end of the year. So at that point, if it's not ready, he's going to have to rent another house. So you can agree to pay for any loss. You'll cover all of his expenses that are created from the fact that you didn't finish the construction. However, in a case of a guzma, where you say, you know what, if I'm not done at this time, I'm going to give you $5,000 a month. It's a guzma. It has nothing to do with the person's losses. It's just a penalty. There, even if it's biyada, even if it's under your control, the halacha is, it's called an asmachta. So far we need two. There are two important points we have to look at. The first point is if it's not under your control, it's an asmachta and it's not a kinyan. Even if it is under your control, it cannot be a guzma. It has to be you're accepting to pay for the losses.
Why is that by a guzma? What's the logic behind it?
The point is to accept to pay for losses when it was in your control and your negligence caused the loss. It's appropriate to pay. So even though in Hilchas Mazik it'll be a grum, or for whatever reasons we can't, you're not a mazik, but to accept to pay for something that you caused is something which makes sense. And when people accept such responsibilities, we say they mean it. Just to pay $10,000, we say people they're not just machai themselves to pay crazy amounts of money for no good reason. And therefore, it's a lush lahasmich dvarov. It's just your way of saying, don't worry, it'll be done. And you didn't mean it. It's an incentive, but the point of asmachta is when the parties agree to it only because they're convinced it won't happen, that's not a gemiras das. Now the mechaber adds a very interesting point. A person went ahead, he put a deposit on a property. They made a deal that if he walks away, the deposit is non-refundable. They made a deal the other way, that if the seller backs out, he's going to double the person's deposit. He'll give him his money back, plus that way the penalty was equal. Whoever walks away loses. If the deposit was $10,000, so whoever walks away will end up paying the other person $10,000. Now, if the seller backs out, the halacha is asmachta lekanya. It may be biyada, he may be able to sell the property, but is there any reason for him to pay the buyer $10,000? No, there were no losses. And that this is a case of asmachta, the seller backs out, he does not have to pay. Zok the mechaber, and based on the Rambam, if the buyer walks away from a deal, he put down a deposit, and then he walked away, the halacha is, even though it's an asmachta, the seller can keep the deposit. Why? Because what's the point of asmachta? The point of asmachta is, if I tell you, you know what, if you lose 10 pounds, I'll give you money, I'll give you $10,000. We say, I didn't mean it. It was an asmachta. There was no gemiras das. If I give you the money, you're holding on to my deposit, and I tell you, if I don't close, you can keep the deposit, you better believe that I meant it, because I gave you the money. Now it's not. Now it's a question of if I back out, I have to then haul you in front of a bezin and force you to return it to me. Since you are already muchzik on the money, I already paid it to you. And here it's a question of mechila. Here the mechaber says there's no problem of asmachta. Asmachta is always, I tell you if something happens, I will pay you. If I give you the money up front, and now, and I tell you if I don't close, then you can keep it, that, the halacha is, would not be an asmachta according to the mechaber. No, if it's biyad shlish, that's not. It has to be if the money is by an attorney in escrow, this will not apply. This is only when the deposit was released to the seller. The Rama argues, but the mechaber, this is the psak of the mechaber, that if once he has it, once he's a muchzik, then there's nothing to talk about. Now that we have this background in hilchos asmachta, let's try to apply this to gambling. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that it gives a list of psulei edus, people who are possible to be made. One of the psulim is mesachik bekuvya, or mafricha yoina, which means people who gamble. People who gamble cannot be made in Bezdin. The Gemara has a machlokes why. The first man the Amr holds, Rami Bar Chama, it's asmachta. When you gamble, you make a bet with someone. Do you really plan on paying out this bet? No, you're making the bet because you're convinced that you're right, you're convinced your horse is going to win, you're convinced the stock will rise, or whatever you're doing. It's an asmachta. Asmachta loikanya. And therefore, someone who wins a bet and is taking money shaloikidin, it's gezel, and therefore he's pasul le'edus. Now, based on this pshat, it happens to be it's only aser if you win the bet. If you are a gambler, but you're a shlamazel, and you've lost every bet that you've tried, you're not a goslin. You wouldn't have this psul. What also comes out is that if you win once, that's all you need to be psul. Because it's gezel, whether it's deraisa or derabanan, it's gezel, and therefore you win a bet, you take the money, you're psul edus. Rav Sheshes argues. Rav Sheshes says, kochi haigavno labas machtehi. That's not an asmachta. The reason why you can't be made is because you're an oisik b'yeshuv v'shaloylam. If you're parnasa, if this is what you do for a living, you're a gambler. That's not a productive profession, and therefore, because you're an oisik b'yeshuv v'shaloylam, you're possible. According to Rav Sheshes, if you have a day job and just a little entertainment on the side, you gamble every once in a while, you can be made. It's not gezel. You're not stealing. It's just a question of an oisik b'yeshuv v'shaloylam that you don't have any, not doing anything productive. So as long as you have a job, if this is on the side, you would be kosher according to Rav Sheshes. Why isn't gambling an asmachta? So Rashi explains like this. What's the problem of asmachta? The problem of asmachta is when I tell you that if I can't lose 10 pounds, I'm going to pay you this amount of money. The problem of asmachta is I don't really mean it. I'm counting on the fact that I will be able to lose weight. I'm counting on the fact that I'll be able to get up early enough for Black Friday and I'll beat the crowds. I'm being simich on something, so I don't really mean it. Zog Rashi, what happens if I'm dealing with something which is totally beyond my control? It's totally random. I tell you, you're going to spin the die, and if it's a 6, I'll pay you. If it's a 1, you pay me. Does it make sense to say that I'm simich das, I'm really counting on the fact that it'll be a 1, it won't be a 6? That makes no sense. Because it's totally out of my control. When it's totally out of my control, and I still say, if this happens, I'll pay you, then I must have meant it. Because I didn't. Because there's nothing else I can fool myself with. So according to Rashi, it'll come out, there are 3 different levels. If something is totally beyond my control, it's totally random, just a game of chance, there Rashi says it's not asmachta. Because it's totally out of my control, if I agree to pay, I must have meant it. If it's totally under my control, it's also not an asmachta. As long as I'm able to do it, and my payment is reasonable, it's not a guzma, so I meant it. I tell you, if I don't do this job, I'll pay you this amount. The issue of asmachta is in this middle case, where it's somewhat under my control. In those cases, we say, when I told you, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to pay you. I was counting that it would work out, and therefore I wasn't seir das on the obligation. So, it'll come out. So according to the Ramah, anything which is totally beyond my control is misakha bekuvya, and you're only possible if this is your parnasa. If you do it once or twice, there would be no issa. The Rambam argues, the Rambam paskins, even by misakha bekuvya, you do it once, it's called gezel midivrehim. He seems to pass like Rabbi Bar Chama, although it's a big nidoin in the achroinim exactly what the shitas of Rambam is. But the Rambam seems to hold that a gamble, even when it's totally beyond your control, we say asmachto loikanya, and it's considered geza. Now, interestingly, even according to the Rambam, this applies only if you're gambling with another yid. When you're gambling with a yid, we say asmachto loikanya, at least midrabanon, and therefore you can't take the winnings. On the other hand, if you're gambling with a goy, since the guy willingly is taking part of the gamble, this takano does not apply. And if you win, you can keep the money. There's no iser gezel. The Rambam says, nevertheless, it's not what a person should be doing with his time. It's the Rambam's lashon is yesh le iser oisip gedvarim betelim she'ein roy la'adam she'yase kol yom le'el b'divrei chachma v'yishuv v'shaloylam. A person should not be spending his time gambling. But as far as this Isser is concerned, the gambling with a goy, the Isser Gezel does not apply. Let's now try to go back to discuss the halacha l'maisa with gambling. Chanukah night, after you light Neiros, you want to have a family dreidel game. Now, you play with money, or for that matter, you play with candies. It doesn't make a difference. Gambling can be with money, it can be cash, it can be with shava kesef. Is a person allowed to play dreidel with his family? Or is it an asmachta? Now, what's dreidel? When you play dreidel, is that a game of chance? What level does it fall into? L'chaira, dreidel is something which is enu b'yodei klal. It's total chance. I've never met anyone who claimed to be an expert dreidel player. You spin the dreidel, and there's a 25% chance it'll be at a nun, gimel, shin, hey. There's no way to control it. If it's totally a game of chance, according to the Ramah, well, what is halacha? The Ramah paskins, if it's eno biyadei klal, so if this is your job, that's all you do, what you do for a living is you play dreidel, you'll be pasul le'edus. You're eno isik b'yishuv v'shaloylam. But assuming you have a day job, and once a year you decide to enjoy a little family game of dreidel, since it is eino biyodei klal, it's totally out of your control, the halacha is, according to the Ramah, it's not an asmachta. And whoever wins keeps the pot. However, say you are a svardi, and you follow the psakim of the Rambam, the Rambam paskins, even by Mesach HaPekovia, where it's totally, total chance, total random, still the Rambam says, there's an Isser Gezel Midirayim. There's an Isser Midirabanon of gambling, even when it's even one time, and even if it's total chance. And therefore, if you're a Svardi, Chayra, you have no business playing dreidel. And whoever wins has to give back whatever he won. Now, it happens to be, the Sfardim do not have any Messiah of playing dreidel. In Syria and Morocco, there was no such thing. They may have picked it up when they came to America and mixed with some of the Ashkenazim, but the Syrians do not have such a minhag of playing dreidel. And it works out very nicely, the Shitasim. According to the Mechaber, if you're playing for money or you're playing for food, there should be an Isser Midrabanon of keeping the money. Now let's move on to the next case. Chinese auction. You want to put money in a Chinese auction. Now a Chinese auction is essentially a gamble. You're buying a ticket. If you win, you get a nice big prize. And if you lose, you lose. So let's go. According to the Ramah, what should halacha be? Clear Chinese auction is like dreidel. It's totally a game of chance. If it's totally a game of chance, according to the Ramah, it's not an asmachta. It's in a biyodei klal. And therefore, shouldn't be a problem. Masha'enkein, if you are a Svardi, and you're following the Psak of the Rambam, even though it's totally a game of chance, it's Mesach HaPekuvya. And it should be also to put money in a Chinese auction. Now, over here, if you think about it, the halacha is not so simple. Why? Because we mentioned before, if a person puts a deposit on a house and then he wants to back out, so there we said it's an asmachta. But according to the Mechaber, if you've already paid and you're asking for the money back, there's no problem of asmachta. When you buy a ticket to an auction, what do? You pay up front for the ticket. That means you've already paid the organization for the ticket. If you lose, what do you say? You call the organization and say, listen, I put a ticket in, I'm a Sfardi, and according to Sfardi, asmachta lekanya, even in these cases, I want the money back. The organization will tell you back, no. You paid us before the auction. Since you paid us, we were the muchzik already. Here it's a question of an asmachta where we already have the money. If you've already given the money before, and it's a question of mechila, even the shita's mechaber is asmachta kanya. So if someone loses the auction and wants a refund, halach is nothing doing. Since he already paid asmachta kanya, he can't get his money back. However, what happens if the Sfardi wins the auction? Now, if the Sfardi wins, are the people who buy the tickets, are they a muchzik on the prize? No. You win, they have the auction, they pick out a winner, and then they give them the prize. So according to a Sfardi, that a total game of chance is an asmachta. So if you lose, since you've already paid the money, you can't ask for it back. But if you win, the organization should be able to tell you, You're a Sfardi. You follow the Shitas Rambam. It's an asmachta. We don't have to give you the prize. No, because the whole case of a deposit is it works both. Is the buyer is locked in, the seller isn't. Some of the Rishonim, that's why they argue. They say it's not fair to do it one way or not the other. But according to the Mechaber, we do that. But you think about it, it's not really true. Why? Because why isn't it when I buy a raffle ticket, why should it be an asmachta? It's an asmachta because I don't know, maybe I'll win, maybe I'll lose. So perhaps I'm not semich das. So from a buyer's end, if he loses, we have a question of asmachta. Since he paid, he's not going to win. From the seller's perspective, is it a gamble when they make one of these lotteries? No. Because it's guaranteed someone's going to win. It's just a question of to who. Since from the seller's perspective, it's a guarantee, they know they're giving this away. There's no asmachta, there's no di, there's no question of smichas das, they just have to decide which person's going to be. From the seller's end, it's not an asmachta anyway. It's only a shayla on the buyer's end. And since on the buyer's end, if he's Ashkenazi, who follow the Ramad, say it's totally a game of chance, there's no problem of asmachta. If he's a Sfardi, since he paid already, it also won't be a problem of an asmachta. Of course, if he buys it on credit, then we have a very much more serious question. So if you're buying the ticket and you didn't pay for it yet, they're already, again, we'll get back to this a little bit later, but it should sound like it's a problem. Okay, so that's dreidel and that's Chinese auctions. What about playing kvitlach? So is that a smachta or not? Now, to tell you the truth, I have a bit of a confession to make, and that is I don't know exactly how to play kvitlach. But I'm not sure whether it is completely a game of chance or not. If it's completely a game of chance, it's like spinning a dreidel. There's no such thing as a good player or a bad player. You're just spinning. So then, according to the Ramah, the smachta kanya, according to the Mechaber, not. But if you paid already, it's then it would be a kinyan. However, if there's skill involved, and there's something called a good player, and there's room to say he is soimich das, I'm a good kvitlach player, and therefore I'm going to win. I know how to bluff, I know how to do whatever it is. So if there's a significant amount of skill, then, already, it's not eno biyodei klal. Now it's a classic case of asmachta. If it's a classic case of asmachta, where the people are gambling because they're assuming that they know how to play better and they're going to win, via Lukuliyama, we would hold asmachta loikanya, and you have no right to take the money. There's no kinyan, and it's gezel. Again, there are issues of mechila b'toyz, the person pays willingly, but I'll call upon him if the netzias is, the facts are, that there is skill involved, and there's something called a good player, there's reason for him to be samir das, then Lukuliyama should be an asmachta. And I'll just finish one thing. Now, the last case that was advertised was, what about investing on a gambling site? Now, here, I would like to assume, perhaps, probably may not be true, but let's make this optimistic assumption that the people playing are goyim. Assuming the people playing are goyim, even the Rambam that is machmir on asmach by Masachet Bekuvio, by a game of chance, says that it's only a takon midrabanon, and if you're playing with a goy, then as long as the bet is fair, the halacha is there's no iser of gezel. And therefore, even according to a Sfaradi, first of all, on these sites, I don't think they give you credit. You have to pay first. So there will be a muxik on the money. And second of all, even without that, as long as your counterparty is a goy, even the Rambam will not hold there's an iser gezel medivreyam on the asmachta. Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. But that's not, the case of the mechaber is that if you give this person the money who you're having the bet with, and then if you lose the bet, he keeps it. In kvitlach, I believe you're putting it on the table. You're not giving it to the other person. So since you haven't given it to someone, that heter of the mechaber will not apply. But we will get back to that point a little bit later. Even in the Mechaber, if you give it beyad shlish, if you give it to a third party, this doesn't apply. It's only when he has it and it's a question of mechila. If he doesn't have it yet and it's a question of hakna, it doesn't apply.
Would it make any difference, just like Hanukkah, whatever it's pitla, a grendel, whatever it is, we're talking about relatively small amounts of money.
Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. Ad kan the discussion from a Choshen Mishpat point of view. This is all Choshen Mishpat. However, this Shaila is discussed in Aruch Chaim as well. And in Aruch Chaim, we're going to see the halachas seem to be very different. There's halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, discussed in the Gemara in Daf Kuf Mem Tes, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Shulchan Aruch, it's Simen Shinchav Beis. There's a halacha that you're having a Suda, and you bring out dessert, and all of your kids, they're all grabbing the dessert, everyone wants the first portion. So in order to just keep things under control, you decide you're going to have a raffle. Not make hold a lottery. Whoever wins gets the first portion of dessert. So there the halacha, the Gemara says that as long as the dessert, the size of the pieces are all the same, that's fine. And you're doing it just for crowd control, that's beseder. However, if you have bigger pieces and smaller pieces, you have chocolate and vanilla, you have better and you have worse. And there, now you're having a raffle where the winner gets the bigger piece and the loser gets the smaller piece. There the Gemara says that's osur mishum kovyu afilu b'chol. Even during the week, it's osur to have such lotteries. Now Tosfos points out, this is really a machlokes. According to the Ramah, that Paskin, like Rav Sheshes, that if you msachet b'kovyu, which is totally by chance, there's no isur, it's only if it's umnasa b'kach, he would hold that it's mutter. The Rambam, the Paskins, like Rami Bar Choma, or similarly, that even a game of chance has a problem of asma. So then, more makes sense. The problem is, if you look at the Torah, and you look at the Mechaber in Simen Shinchav Beis, there, everyone Paskins, it is usher to make a lottery during the week, even with members of the family. So this is a pella. In Choshen Mishpat, we said a game of chance is fine according to the Ramah. In Aruch Chaim, we're saying even a game of chance, you're dealing with family, you're talking about, you're raffling off dessert, there's an Isser of Kuvya. What's going on? So the Achrayim are very bothered by this Kasha. The Magen Avraham says that even the Ramah, even when it's a game of chance and you're not Pasul LeEdus, there's a ktsas isser yesh bedover, there's epis, something wrong, it just means you're not pasul le'edus. But something, gambling is always going to be somewhat usser. That's how the Magen Avraham learns. Shulta Giboirim has a beautiful teretz. It's a bit of a doichik in the Mechaber, but as far as the halacha shabai, I think it brings out a very important point. Let's go back to our original example. I make up with someone, that you know what, we're going to gamble, dreidel, or whatever it is. We're going to make a bet. We're betting over a basketball game. If I win, you pay me. If I lose, I'll pay you. So what are we saying? Is that an asmachta? In that case, yes. because I think I'm a better player, you think you're a better player, that's an asmacht. What happens if we bet over something which is out of our control? There, according to the Ramah, that's not an asmacht, it's a total game of chance. I'm not saying das on anything, and therefore, there's a king. The bet works. But let's go back. What would happen if I walk over to you and I tell you, listen, I'm going to give you $10,000 tomorrow. Do I owe you $10,000 now? No. My Dibur doesn't make a Kenyan. I told you I'll give it to you. I changed my mind. Even Mechusar Amana, as we learned, it's Matana Meruba. Verbal, just saying that I'm going to do something doesn't mean that I owe it to you. You need a Maisa Kenyan. You have to sign a contract. You have to do a Hagbah. You have to pay Maisa Kenyan. Otherwise, I don't have to pay you. Every time there's a bet, I tell you, okay, we're going to spin the dreidel. If it's a gimel, I get the pot, which means I'm taking your money. If it's a shin, I'm going to give more into the pot. Where's the kinyan? It's nothing more than a dibur. Why is this binding? So, if you look at the Ramah in Simin Reish Zayin, the Ramah says, the whole halacha, that by a gamble, which is ein biyah the klal, which is total chance, there's no problem of asmachta, that's all talking about a case where either the money was on the table, or yesh aimrim, the table that the money was on belonged to everyone who was gambling. Since the table was owned by the shotfis, the way many achroinim learn, so if I own the table, the moment I win the bet, it's in my chotzer, my table is kind of the money. In other words, what the Ramah is saying is, even if the bet is not a problem of asmachta, we still have to deal with the kinyan. You have to be doing something to make it binding. Okay, so the Nesiva says you have to first make a kinyan. Even when you make a kinyan, the money still has to be on the table. Yesh ayim, the table has to belong to everyone. For zaitika reasons, you know, for this and Jewish rush, that we can't go into. But what the Shulchan Gibarim points out is that even if the bet, as far as Hilchos Asmachta is not a problem, we have to deal with a kinyan. And therefore, the Nesiva says you have to make a Maisa kinyan before the bet. In addition to that, the Ramah says the money has to be on the table. You can't just be playing with an IOUs or with, you know, on credit. Okay, if I lose the bet, I'll pay you. There has to be cash on the table. And the Ramah brings down a yesh, I mean, the table has to belong to all of us. If it belongs to the shutzvis, then the moment I win the bet, the money becomes mine. But if we're gambling and the money's not on the table, there's no kinyan, or if the table doesn't belong to both of us, there's no kinyan, and even if the asmachta is not a problem, there's a problem with the kinyan. And therefore, Zog the Shilta Gibayrim, when we say in Hilchos Eidos that someone who gambles is not possible, that's talking about a case where the money was on the table. You made the right kinyanim, so it's not no iser gezel. It's a total question of chance, not a problem. However, in Shinchav Beis in Orach Chaim, there we're talking about the dessert apparently wasn't on the table yet. Or if you go like the other sheet, the table belonged to the Baal Bayis, your kids didn't own the table. So in that case, there's no kinyan, and that's why it is usur even b'chol. What? If you're taking out your pocket in Echanami, but if everything is on the table, then yeah. You have your, you know, everyone's. So now it'll actually come out, the tables are turned a little bit. Because what we're saying now is, according to the Ramah, even though there's no problem of asmachta when you're dealing with a game of chance, still, if the money is not on the table, you don't make a kinyanim, it's going to be awesome. In Shinchav Bey, as most poskim hold, even if you're dealing with family members, and even if the father is giving, it's really all the food belongs to him anyway, still, because it's very bad chinuch, we're afraid that we're going to teach the kids how to gamble, it's always going to be usur. Even if you provided the money, it's going to be usur. And therefore, it comes out, according to Ramah, even though in Chayesh Mishpat he's mekel, over here, if you're playing a family dreidel game, it's going to be usur, even if the money all belongs to the father. The Rambam, it comes out, although he holds in Hilchos Asmachta, there's a problem. In the Orach Chaim, he says there's no iser when you're dealing with family members. If the money all belongs to the father, and he's just distributing it, we don't have such a gezeirah. So it'll come out, for a family dreidel game, if you're a Sfardi, you can be samech on the Rambam. If you're an Ashkenazi and you follow the Shitas Ramah, you follow the other Shitas, there, even if it's family, there's going to be an Isser. Now, what comes out is, whenever you have a question of gambling, we have to deal with two matters. Your first question as far as Choshen Mishpat, is Asmachta Kanya or not Kanya? Even if Asmachta is Kanya, you have to make sure you have the right Kinyan. You have to make sure you either did Hagbo, you did made a Kinyan Sudar, you may also need that the money is on the table, and the table belongs to everyone. I know one of the members of the Chabura, his Shvagar called him up a week before Chanukah and said, listen, we're playing Kvitlach. I don't want to hear Asur Mutar, we're playing. What I want to know is, what is the best way to play Mahajan in a Mahajan, where we're both covered according to the Shitas? So, he told them, listen, the first thing you have to do is, before each bet, you have to makabel kinyan, that even if you hold us, there's no problem of asmachta, you need a kinyan. So before every gamble, you have to make kinyan sudar, pick up a pen, be mechayev yourself to pay if you lose. Second of all, the cash has to all be on the table. And third of all, there's a yesh aimrim, that it's not just enough the cash is on the table has to belong to everyone. We have to be shutvim in the table. So he said he came in on Chanukah, he went to visit his shvager. He said he walks into the room, this smoke-filled room. Everyone was, half drunk. And every time there was a bet, they're all busy picking up kinyan sodas, making hagbahs and mashichas. And they said afterwards, next year that's it. They had enough, they were cured. It's not that much fun playing. I think also where the person who lost at the end of the day said, listen, but now you gave me, this table now belongs to me. Tried walking out with the table. So, what do you mean, chips?
If you designate,
no, that's ba'amana. If you designate something and afterwards you make a chesed, okay, you have 10 chips, I'll pay you. Like this, if you pay the house in advance, you give them money, they give you chips. Then if you lose to the house, then they're the muchzik. We have the shittas of mechaber. That's a question of mechila. Whatever they win, they win. On the other hand, if you win, or if it's just people make up that we're going to play with chips and afterwards we'll pay each other based on that, that's ba'amana. And afterwards, if anyone who loses does not have to pay it out. Bukulayama, there was no kinyan. You can designate whatever you want, but it's not a kinyan. You have to pay it afterwards. That's called seichik ba'amana. That means you played on credit. With kuli alma, it's not going to work.
Why is there a kinyan dvarim?
It's his chayvus. I will pay you money if I lose. Paying money is not dvarim. Paying money is cash. That's a regular chayvus. Okay, so now let's go back. Now that we've gone through the Arachayim part, let's go through the different halachah lemaisa again. If you're paying dreidel, it comes out that if the money is not on the table, it's definitely not going to work. If the money is on the table and everyone's shutfim in the table, and you make the proper kinyonim, according to the Ramah, according to the Shilchei Gevurim, you'd be fine. According to the Mechaber, even though it's a game of chance, it's going to be Asur. However, if you're playing with family members, according to the Rambam, the same Isser will apply. According to the Rambam, with family, if it all belongs to the parent anyway, there's no Isser of Kuvya, he doesn't have such a Gezerah. What about Chinese auctions? So Chinese auctions, although we pointed out before from an Asmachta point of view, it's not a problem. What about from a Kenyan, from the Kenyan perspective? Or what about this Isser of in Arachayim? If in Arachayim we see there's an Isser to be involved in any lottery, why should this be any different? Now, the truth be told, in a technical sense, it shouldn't be. And if in Arachayim it's a halacha psuka that any form of lottery is Isser, a Chinese auction is a form of lottery. What people are saying on is, you can really ask a more basic question, and that is, people use Meisr money for Chinese auctions. Why? If you're buying something, if you're gambling, I don't never heard of anyone using Meisr money for Kvitlach. So the answer is that people are saying and Shuvah from Moshe, that when people are buying it, they're not really buying something that has value. They're giving money to tzedakah, and as a side thing, in order to encourage people to give tzedakah, they're offering a certain prize. If you're following that psak, so then you're not be'ikr gambling, you're be'ikr giving money to tzedakah. So then, l'chari, the yisur shouldn't apply. Now, the truth is, there's another svara l'hakol, and that is, what's the yisur of having being involved in a lottery? It's a question of gambling. There are five pieces of dessert. We're each going to get one of the pieces, and we're gambling. We're having a lottery to see who gets the biggest, who gets the smallest. So here, I'm gambling against someone. There, we find that there's this yisur. When you put money in a Chinese auction, let's say you put in money and your chavrusa, your fellow next to you, and she'll also put in money. When you win, does the person look at you and tell you, listen, you know, you just won my $100? Are you gambling against somebody? L'chayr or not? You're not gambling. It's not a question of a lottery where each person's putting in something and I'm winning and there's a winner and there's a loser. Here it's a question of, like the truth on Huggis points out, it's like you're buying a schus, you're buying a right to get a certain part of the pot. You're not gambling against anybody. And therefore the Truus von Hogoi says that Lukula Yamo it should not be Osir. In addition, there happens to be a halacha of the Bait Staka, it could be there's no Isur Asmachta in the first place. That's really machloik is when it applies and when it doesn't. But there are quite a number of tzerufim in a case of a Chinese auction, and that is what the Oilam is Samik Lahakal. Because the entertainment is gambling. The entertainment is the fact that you're gambling against someone. Look, there's a winner and a loser, and the winner is taking the money from the loser. When you're in a Chinese auction, I don't think anyone looks at it as they're taking the money. They're gambling against everyone else. The Moisid is giving this prize, and I hope to win it. You don't. If you hold like the Rambam, Gezel is Gezel, whether it's 50 cents or a dollar or $1,000. If you're going with the as far as the Isser. So in our Chayim, we're talking about dessert. We're not talking about huge amounts of money. I mean, again, for kids, maybe chocolate, but we're not talking about huge amounts. But in our Chayim, it's usher, any form of gambling is usher. And therefore, even in the case of dreidel, unless you want to go ahead and make sure that you give your kids, sell them the table beforehand to make kinyonim, it's questionable. If there's a minhug in the family to play with money, if there is such a thing, then, you know, a minhug perhaps is a minhug. But if they're, but l'chadchilo, what you really should be doing is, you should be telling your kids you're not gambling for money. After you're going to play dreidel, and afterwards you'll give out whatever you want to give out. But it shouldn't be a gamble. Because it's, again, in Aruch Chaim, it's a mefurish halach without any chokim. So raffles, again, it's like that, but you have that other heter, and that is, no one is gambling against someone else. In the case of an Aruch Chaim, everyone has one portion, and they're raffling. They're gambling who gets the biggest and who gets the smallest. There's a winner and a loser. In these cases where there's no winner and loser, someone is giving a present, and this is how he's going to choose. There's malkum to say this doesn't go into Mesachus B'Kuvya at all. Now, just to end off, let me just end off. I'll take questions afterwards. Just to end off, if you look at the Lashonos in Hilchos Chanukah, they're very. Mishnah Berurah writes that. In place of the shiras v'tishbachos, the shavach v'hoidah that a person ought to be doing on Chanukah, someone who's shomer nafsho, someone who's concerned with his neshama, should stay away from it. The Reuch HaShulchan has even a stronger language. They have a tremendous punishment. Gambling is something which is never done in isolation. It's something which the environment that it's done in is not an environment that reeks of Yiras Hashem. And being involved in it causes many other averos. Whoever is able to mevatel it, his tremendous schar. So Aruch HaShulchan adds that besides the actual iser, and besides for the fact that Mishnah Berurah points out that it's being done in its time, which is should be dedicated for Shalach V'Hoidah, Aruch HaShulchan's point is the environment it's done in is usually leaves a lot to be desired. They had in Belgium, Rabitzkula, when he saw what was going on in Chanukah, he saw that it was Kvitlach, he realized he can't stop it. It's been going on for too long. Kvardosh be'rabim. So he made a takona. Anyone who wants to play Kvitlach, it's not a problem. Play in the Beis Medrash. I want to see everyone. I want to see what's going on. I want to make sure that it's in. So that's what they did. Chanukah night, everyone came. They played in the Beis Medrash. Every hour or two, he would come out, confiscated all of the money, and gave it to Tzedakah. Now this way, first of all, he's making sure that it's being done in a Beis Medrash, it's being done in an environment where there are no other averas going on. And second of all, if everyone who's playing knows, when they put out a dollar on the table, they know whether they win or lose, this money is going to Tzedakah. So now you avoid all the asmachta problems. It doesn't make a difference whether it is a kinyan, it isn't a kinyan, gezel, not gezel. Everyone putting down the money knows it's going straight to Tzedakah. You avoid all the problems. Now I was thinking a little bit, why is it that people playing gambling somehow got associated with Chanukah? Why do people gamble? So I think people gamble for two reasons. First of all, it's always very nice to put in a dollar and get $10. It's, you know, to get something for nothing. Put in a dollar in a dream. I think it's something that nakuda appeals to everyone. There's also a point that everyone who gambles knows that the odds are stacked against them. Everyone knows that the numbers don't work out. It's not a clever investment. But people have this thrill or this feeling that they're different. They can beat the odds. They're lucky. And either whether it's a feeling or a hope, that's something which is moishach a person. He wants to feel that he's different, he's lucky, he's special, he can beat the odds. If you think about it, what was the nes of Chanukah? Masartu giborim biyad chaloshim, v'rabim biyad ma'atim. The entire nes of Chanukah was a nes of beating the odds. That when a yid is moister nefesh for as avodas Hashem, it makes no difference to the Rabbi Shalom whether it's a Rabbim biyad ma'atim or ma'atim biyad Rabbim. It doesn't make a difference whose army is stronger, who has better weapons, what odds the bookies are giving. When a yid is oved Hashem, he knows that he has haftocha, he'll be matzliach, regardless of what the odds are. When they won the war, what did they do? They took a pach shemen, they had for one night, they took the ultimate gamble, and it burned for 8 nights. They got to put in one, they got 8 back in return. Another gamble that won. Vayistayis Chanukah is a time to beat the odds. And Vayistayis Chanukah is a time where every yid has this koyach. The difference is that this koyach is for ruchnius. When a person is most nefesh for avodas Hashem, that's where he has his haftocha. He doesn't have to worry about the numbers. He doesn't have to worry about the difficulty. He'll be matzliach. He's special. It'll work out. When you use that, and instead blow that segula on a game of cards, and instead of spending time being oymed on that and steiging your avodas Hashem, you're instead using it to play dreidel and play the cards. That perhaps is why the poskim took it so severely and wrote such strong lashonos about it. Afreilichen Chanukah.